Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Right Now Weekly Radio Show, hosted by Vicki Winterton, founder of Expert Insights Publishing, home of best-selling books, award-winning magazines, global broadcasts and communities. Right Now is a highly educational, inspiring, and empowering show focused on writing, publishing, and marketing your books, featuring outstanding guests from across the globe, including best-selling authors, world stage speakers, thought leaders, and visionaries with proven strategies, secret formulas, and treasured resources to help you succeed and make an impact. Welcome, sit back, and enjoy the show. And now your host, Vicki Winterton.
Hi, this is Vicki Winterton. What if you could turn your past and your problems into the choice, the question, and the possibility that contributes to change your whole life? Is now the time for you to get over being normal and tapping into the true brilliance of you? Susan Minnemeyer, licensed clinical psychologist, psychotherapist, radio show host, Access Conscious Facilitator, and author of the book Pragmatic Psychology, Practical Tools for Being Crazy Happy, and a worldwide speaker, is creating a new paradigm with psychology and therapy, pragmatic psychology, and she is here to talk with us about this today. Suzanne, thank you so much for being with us.
Oh, thanks for having me, Vicki. I'm happy to be with you.
You have such an interesting path that led you to your purpose and passion that you're contributing to the world now. Could you start out by letting everyone know a little bit about your background and how you came to where you are today, making this huge contribution?
Well, I'm one of those who always looked for more and for greater possibilities my whole life since I was a little child. And I grew up in a normal family, like, yeah, how normal it can be with family. And then after I was finished with the high school, I was wondering, okay, so what's available now? So I tried a couple of studies and was seeking for what truly worked for me, and none of them really gave me that sense of creating something greater. And so I had one of those moments in my life where I would just ask the question, okay, so if I could create anything with my life, what would it be? And so the first thing that came up was showing people what they're capable of, empowering them to know that they know, just, you know, getting them out of the wrongness of themselves. And then I looked at, because my filter was always the academic studies. This is what my family encouraged. So this was the filter I looked through. So I looked, okay, so what kind of study would that be and what kind of study would that match? And the best I could come up with at that time was to become a psychologist. And I thought that would be all about empowering people and showing them what they're capable of. And then when I started to study, I realized that it wasn't at all like that. And I was really, really surprised. So I finished a study, which was really cool because prior to that, I just started things and never finished them. And then I started to work in a clinic in Sweden and as a clinical psychologist. And I was meeting all these amazing people called patients. And they were, you know, the doctor would say, well, this patient has this and this diagnosis. Can you do something? Can you do psychotherapy with them? Can you do, you know, can you do psychological testing? So that was basically my work, therapy and testing people. And there was always this sense in the doctor's world of, oh, well, you know, there's not much you can do, but, you know, just do whatever you need to do and give them, you know, a sense of adapting to the world as it is and learning to deal with their diagnosis. So I would meet these people, and in the conversations with them, I would see something totally different than what was shown to me by other professionals like doctors and whoever else. And I would see, like, there's so much more to these people than the box that they were, you know, put in, called the diagnosis or all the symptoms and all the points of view, what that means and where it comes from and the cause of it, the past and how that determines the future and everything that will not be possible for them. So in the conversations, I would see these brilliant people, and So a question arose in my universe of, okay, so what else is possible beyond the paradigm that I was handed in and during my education? And I knew it was like one of those moments again in my life where I knew something had to change, because the way I, you know, the way I was taught to work and do psychotherapy and all that stuff just didn't work for me well enough. It wasn't efficient enough. It wasn't dynamic enough. And I was basically bored. So I just basically had this question in my universe, what else is possible? And a demand on myself, either this changes or I will find something totally different. I was ready to give up my job and to do something totally different. And, you know, it's one of those moments in your life where you're willing to lose it all and give it all up when really things change. And they did. So I just took off some days from work and found this class called Access Consciousness. That was years ago. And I started with the first basic classes and I knew, wow, that for the first time is something that matches the most what I know is possible to create in the world. And so I applied those tools immediately in my work and everything changed. And from that on, I started to create what is now called pragmatic psychology. So that's the background.
My gosh, that is so powerful, so incredibly powerful. And when you're at those kind of crossroads, sometimes for a lot of people, it's really difficult to move on and make changes of any kind. Yeah. Where did you get the powerful motivation to do that?
Well, it's, you know, sometimes when you are at those crossroads and it's so intensely uncomfortable, and then it comes to a level where you just know, I can't do this to myself anymore. And then for me, it was like, I like myself too much to do that to myself. It's like even physical. I could like, oh my God, I knew if I keep on doing this, I create something also in my body that's not going to work. I mean, so many people do that. They start, you know, on the path of dis-ease. I love the word dis-ease because it's really non-ease, dis-ease. Like it's when things are not ease anymore and start to become dis-ease, they also create that in their bodies. And I just knew so well, not a cognitive knowing, not a logical knowing. I just knew that I would start to create something that wasn't really what worked for me. And I just knew that this needs to change. And it just came naturally. So, yeah, a knowing, I would say.
Well, again, that is so incredibly powerful. And your book is just amazing. And I love the phrase, practical tools for being crazy happy. I love that. Tell us a little bit about the book.
Yeah. So the title, as you say, Pragmatic Psychology, sounds so, you know, neutral. And then I wanted to add the title, Practical Tools for Being Crazy Happy, because those two, you would say, oh, psychology, okay, pragmatic. Pragmatic means do what works. So, you know, many people go about their lives and they do what works for everybody else. They're very aware of the needs that everybody else has around them, and they never really ask themselves, so, what works for me? So being pragmatic is doing what works for you. And then the crazy happy part in the practical tools is it's actually very pragmatic to being happy, because it's many times, like, there is a certain level of happiness that's normal in this world. But then when you go beyond that, people go, okay, that's rather insane. You know, what's wrong with you? So being crazy happy is basically being happier than other people and this reality can receive, which gives you, like, allowing yourself to be that happy is going to give you so much information and awareness of what truly works for you and what you desire to create as your life. Because, you know, lately all these questions pop up in people's universe and we're all taught to ask, so, what would I like to create as my life? And then many people have no clue what that is. And I remember I had no clue what I wanted to create as my life when people asked me when I was 18, so what would you like to be? And I'm like, oh, I would like to be happy. That's not a job. Okay. So I had no idea, because I was so trained to just listen to what other people need me to be and never ask myself, so truth, who am I beyond everybody else's point of view of what I'm supposed to be a creative my life? Even success is such a concept where people think, oh, success is having a lot of money, success is having a lot of clients, or, you know, it's all about the quantities. But success is so much more than that, and it's different for everybody else what success is. So it's like being crazy happy and receiving everything and judging nothing, which is where you are starting to be happy because you're celebrating your awareness about everything, is where you start to get a clue about what truly works for you in your life and what doesn't work for you in your life. And it's starting to put the lights on in your life of where would I like to go and the possibility of changing direction in every moment. So that's like the crazy happy part.
Oh, I love that. And, you know, you ask some great questions like, what if you could employ and enjoy your insanity and that of people around you and create more ease for yourself and others? That's so counterintuitive, you know?
Yeah.
For me, Tell us a little bit about that.
I know. And it's so funny when you say that because I'm like, oh, is it? Oh, yeah, I forgot that. So for this reality, it is. And for me, it's like, oh, no, actually, it's like so pragmatic again because it makes it so much easier. If you employ and enjoy your insanity, so insanity in this world is being totally wrong. It's having deficits. It's being handicapped in whatever way. And it's basically where people don't ask questions anymore. They go, oh, okay, I have this symptom and I have this symptom and I have this diagnosis. Oh, okay, so this and this is wrong with me. And then they stop asking questions. They feed themselves with these answers on a daily basis. And so if you start to go instead of that, instead of those answers and brainwash yourself with those answers, you go instead and replace them with a question and go, okay, so what's right about me I'm not getting? What's the possibility and the strength and the capacity, the strongness behind that particular wrongness? I love English. It's like those words just are brilliant. They match. So what wrongness is hiding behind your wrongness? And so what that will show you, it will put away those blinders of everything you've decided is oh so wrong about you. And it will open up your eyes to, wait a second, that thing that I call depression, that thing that I call ADHD or anxiety, wait a second, is that actually an awareness I'm having? Is my body telling me something? Am I picking up information from around me? And what is it that I'm picking up? And how can I use this? Maybe there isn't something wrong with me. Maybe it's just information that comes into my world that I can use instead of thinking that I'm wrong. So this is how you employ the things that people might call insane. You enjoy it as the possibility that it is. But that's like, I get how counterintuitive that is because in this world, you're not supposed to enjoy limitations. You're supposed to suffer them. It's normal to suffer. It's like, this is one of those insane things for me that we live in a world where it's normal to have problems and it's normal to always have an issue that needs to be solved. It's basically a nonstop work and job that people incarcerate themselves with of always having something to deal with. And what if that is one of the greatest insanities of this world, that the point of view that there's always something wrong with you that needs to be fixed? Rather than the question, hold on, what's the strongness behind the wrongness? I mean, if you just ask that question from now on, and even if you don't get an answer, because you probably won't, it will take away those blinders where you have brainwashed yourself to just see the wrongness of you. So what strongness is hiding behind the wrongness? That's a question you can ask yourself. So, yeah, I hope that helps.
That helps so much. And, you know, you had a very interesting childhood, and growing up was amazing. You grew up in Vienna as an Austrian princess and just kind of waltzed through life and with a lot of ease and elegance. And I was wondering, how has this philosophy and this shift of the way you think about mental illness, how has this impacted your life?
It has created a lot of awareness in my life. And So I always had that perspective, like you say, the ease and the joy, and just, you know, like that has always been a possibility in my life. And I just didn't get how, like, I just, like, for me, it never made sense how difficult, you know, this reality makes everything. And so looking at mental illness and applying the elegance, so being pragmatic is very elegant. It's just not making things dramatic anymore, but pragmatic. It's basically going from dramatic to pragmatic, which means it's going from, oh my God, there's this and this wrong, and it's because of my childhood, and see, because of my childhood, the cause of it all, I will have this effect, which is I will have a terrible relationship in the future. I will not have one at all. I will suffer and all of that. So that's the dramatics of it all. But this is what we've been fed to from this world and growing up here and making that real. It's just like a big, you know, the Spanish telenovelas. It's like all of these dramatics that are so real, and getting over that and seeing, wait a second, what am I making real and significant here and relevant here that actually isn't? And not that there's a wrongness. I usually, when I facilitate classes, we play with that and we go, so what if next time you go into a drama, let's say you have a fight with your partner, and there's always that moment, that second where we all know that we have choice. We always know, okay, I know I can let go of my point of view here and just move on. Or I go down the path of proving the rightness of my point of view and telling the person how wrong they are, how right I am, and then off we go to fight land. And we all know that we have that choice in that split of a second to let it go and move on, or go down to discussion and fight and telenovela land and the dramatics of it all. What we play with usually is then to not make it wrong to want to go down the drama road. Just go, okay, I know right now that what I'm creating is not real. I know that this is an invention. I'm making something real, it's not. But now I'm going to enjoy it. I'm going to pick and make an Oscar-nominated fight, and I throw pillows, and I go and say this and that. And then, you know, you make the drama out of it. And if you do it, enjoy it. Don't make it wrong. Because then all the charge goes away. And all the significance goes away, and you can go and enjoy what you try to make real. And after a while, you will notice with your partner that, okay, that was a nice invention. Okay, let's just go and watch TV instead, or let's just go and take a walk instead, because you're going to notice how much work it is to constantly make drama real rather than just creating, doing what works, because the drama takes away your creative energy to create drama rather than your creative energy to create your life. So, yeah. And then you actually asked about the mental illness part, I remember. So a lot of mental illness is making things real that are not, making the wrongness real. So also making things very dramatic. And that's many times when I talk with people who have, like, let's say, I have many, many families coming to me, and they're, you know, adult child or their teenager child. They have this and this, and I've gotten different diagnoses, and there's so much drama in the family around it. Like everything revolves around the diagnosis and how the parents feel wrong about it and the child feels wrong. It's all so dramatic rather than, okay, let's look at this. Let's take away all the judgments that anybody has done anything wrong, and let's look, how can we make this work? What's possible here that hasn't been acknowledged? So that's the elegance of it all, making it work again and not getting stuck in the drama.
Oh, I love that. I really love that. I love the idea, too, that you shared with us so beautifully about the idea that it takes so much more energy to be in the drama as opposed to in the solution. And really, it really is. So for someone who may be stuck in the drama and they have an inkling of the light that they'd like to leave that, but it's really a big part of their life, are there a few stepping stones that you would give people tips to take to, you know, enter more into that light?
Yes, absolutely. So there's one tool that I enjoy very much. It's one of the Access Consciousness tools, and it's called Interesting Point of View. So what you do is very like in the situation when you have that fire burning inside of you and you just want to scream and go, oh, you are so wrong. I'm so right. I'm going to tell you. In that moment, you just go in your head. Don't say it out loud. Okay. Interesting point of view. I have this point of view. And then you do it again. You say, wow, interesting point of view. I have this point of view that this person is wrong. And then you're going to see a shift in your universe and you say it again. Wow, interesting point of view. I have this point of view. And you're going to, for each time you say it, you're going to see that something is shifting in your world. And for a really fixed point of view that you have, that you want to prove the rightness of it to the other person, you just go and say that 20 times or something, however long it takes until you notice that that fixed point of view is not real. That's just something that you made up and that it's just an invention and nothing else. Like basically any upset you have in your world, you're going to notice using that tool is just an invention. And the more you do it and the more you practice it, the more you will have that embodied in your world. You will not have to say it all over again, but you're going to become that walking, talking, interesting point of view that doesn't make anything solid and real anymore, but sees the invention of it and creates space, you know, create space of those things that seem so real and like a big elephant in front of you that you couldn't pass by. So that is a tool. And I remember I gave that to one of my patients and he was an alcoholic and he used alcohol to just make himself deal with his life and the situations that he was in and with all the awarenesses that he has. Like it was for him self-medication and he didn't know anything else. So I gave him that tool, interesting point of view, and he used it, for example, when he came home to his wife and his wife started to preach like everything he did wrong again. And so in his head, while she was screaming at him, he did it the other way around. So he did it about himself, interesting point of view. I have this point of view, but he also did it about her, not out loud. I need to say this one more time, not out loud, but in his head, he said, wow, interesting point of view that she has this point of view that I'm wrong. Wow, interesting point of view. She has this point of view that I'm wrong. And he repeated that over and over and over again in his head. And after a while, he realized how he could receive what she said, like receiving means letting it go through him and not holding on to it, not making it real, not agreeing and aligning to it, not resisting and reacting, just letting it go through him. He had more ease with the preaching of his wife, and the wife realized that she was received, and her nagging and her point of view and telling him about her point of view, that went, like the time of that just went, got less and less and less and less and less. So that was really, really amazing how powerful that tool is. So it's called interesting point of view, and you can all use it from now on. And that is a tool you just use for you, just for you, just for fun, never tell anyone. Just in your head, because if you say it out loud, the other person might take that as very offensive. So that's just for you to have more ease with any situation. Yeah.
I love that. I love that. Interesting point of view. What a very easy exercise that is. And I can just see how it starts to form a separation from your attachment to the fact that things are set in stone. It starts showing that flexibility that yeah, it just sort of is what it is, but it may not be what it needs to be. I just love it.
Cool.
I really love it. So I was wondering, if you were looking at the amazing work that you're doing and you would like to see that have a change in the world, not that you're not contributing hugely to the world, but, you know, have a global impact, almost like a legacy, what would that look like for you?
Oh, that's always the question. How would it look like? So the first thing that comes up when you ask that is acknowledging what already is being created. As you said, it's those moments when people go, oh my God, I used the tools, my whole life changed. It's when somebody said, I had schizophrenia and now the doctor says that the diagnosis doesn't apply anymore. Or I can finally talk to my son again, and we haven't been able to talk for years. It's just those things where, you know, while something is changing, because each of these people is going to bring something to the world, like a ripple effect that's going to spread. And I see that with the book also, Like sometimes I get like somebody from India says, oh, I read your book and everything changed. I'm like, wow, India. And then you know how like acknowledging what that changes in the world already is where the ripples of that can just come to fruition even more. And I would love pragmatic psychology to be a totally new paradigm, a paradigm shift for how people are, you know, treated, and I would say rather than treated, actually empowered all over the world. I would love pragmatic psychology to be a global movement of a different paradigm for psychology and therapy, where people actually are empowered to discover what they're capable of, to use their past and everything that has been as a jumping board, as a possibility to gain awareness of who they truly are and what they're truly capable of. And with that, also inspire everybody else around them. I can see that this would create a totally different world where we're not incarcerated anymore by the past and by cause and effect, by the choices we have to make change in every moment and change direction in any moment, where we don't have to say, oh, you know, I was left by my partner, I was abused, therefore I have this and this. But where you know you don't have to be incarcerated by your past anymore, but have the choice to change and create the life you truly desire. So that's what I would love.
Oh, that is so beautiful. So beautiful. So time with you has just flown, but do you have any parting words for us?
I would say, like, whatever comes your way in your life, even if it seems absolutely hopeless and dark and you can't see, like, any way out of it, do not give up. Be sure that you are not alone. And sometimes there are moments where you think you have nobody to talk to. In those moments, do this thing of asking, hey, universe, show me something beautiful. And be assured that the whole universe has your back. And then let go of any point of view that doesn't allow you to receive that every molecule in the universe, nature, everything has your back and is there for you. You're never alone. So don't give up, no matter how hard it seems. And ask the question, universe, show me something beautiful. And then let yourself be shown.
Oh, that is so beautiful. So beautiful. So I know that your book, Pragmatic Psychology, can be found on Amazon. But I also was wondering if you have a website where people can go to really lock into and connect with you.
My name is www.SusannaMittermeier.com.
Fantastic. Thank you so much, Susanna, for being with us, and congratulations on an amazing book and the wonderful work that you're doing and contributing to the world.
Thank you so much. Thank you for the acknowledgement. Thank you.
And for those of you who would like to learn more about Expert Insights, our best-selling books, award-winning magazines, our global broadcast and communities, you can find us at getei.com. That's GETEI.com. And everyone have a wonderful week.